All right. So great. We can do this after lunch. Important topic. Again, so important. All right. We're glad you're here. I'm going to pray. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have an opportunity to talk about something that's an important part of our lives, and yet it doesn't get discussed, certainly very often from the pulpit, and yet it's so important for women. And so I ask that you bless our time now and make the Holy Spirit work in our hearts so that we can absorb the material and be instruments of your blessing and grace to our husbands. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'd like to know how many singles we have here. Show of hands. Okay.
I am.
Okay, a few singles, but we're glad.
I am.
All right, I'll hear the backstory later on that. But we're so glad you're here. We're talking about sex. Yes, we are. We're talking about that subject which doesn't get mentioned, like I said, and yet it's an important part of life. And for some, it's as important as eating and drinking. That's probably from our husbands who is that important. But we need to look at it from God's point of view. And I want to help you explore the idea of using God's grace in this part of life, which might be revolutionary if you think about it. So we're going to start with the positives. Good. And we're going to talk about how God has created this part of our nature. And I want us to look at Scripture, which is why we're glad the singles are here. Because we're going to look at Scripture, what God says about the sexual aspects of life. And you know, the world talks about this, and it's the reason we need to be talking about it, isn't it? Because we see images, we hear things, we have people governed by this part of life, and yet we want to know what Scripture says. So we'll begin with Genesis. And some might think, well, Genesis, God only created sex after the fall. After the fall of man. Do you think that's right? No. I think Adam and Eve were in the garden and they were happy. Happier than we are because no sin is involved. And they were told to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? That's my basis for saying that. So they were there, happy, enjoying life. And I want us to also realize that God has created us as sexual beings. And we have been made for our husbands. And sex can be a really good thing. It can be pure. It can be holy. It can be positive. It's not a dirty word. And we can think about it. And we can talk about it today without being wrong, doing anything wrong. But we need to think about it the right way. Have you ever realized that your body was made for sexual relationship? I mean, God made us different from our husbands, and that's really great. And that can sometimes make all the difference, just to realize that. This is holy, this is good, and God made me that way. And actually, parts of our body are created just for that, for pleasure. So, and we're also made to respond to our husbands. Genesis 2:18, God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So if we come to realize that, as opposed to the old Greek way of looking at life, is saying we've got the spiritual nature and we've got the baser natures. Okay, let's not have that category and let's not look at it that way. Well, sex is something we do when it's dark. And we don't want anybody to know about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. To where, oh no, God made this. This is part of creation. If the ladies are having trouble hearing, some are having trouble hearing. Okay, and I will try to speak a little louder until the microphone comes. Okay, good, that was quick. I know. Or too quiet, more like. Do I keep this gadget going?
Yep, you keep that one going. So you flip that on there.
Thank you.
Flip that somewhere around.
On my lapel, which I will do that too. Sorry. Steve. What do I need to do?
I just want to make sure it's on, is all. Sorry about that. Okay.
Thank you for helping. Are we getting more sound yet? Still turning the dials. I'm going to keep talking so you can tell it's now magnified sound and it's loud enough. Good, but not too loud. Not too loud back there.
Okay.
All right. Well, now we can't keep anything a secret. It's all out there. All right. Now that Steve's nearly out the door. Okay. So, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach little kids. And I teach them the Ten Commandments now and then. And have you ever thought about how you teach do not commit adultery? How do you explain that to a kid? Well, thankfully, my Sunday school material is very good at saying the way you teach this subject is thou shalt be faithful. And that's what I want to say right now. That's the positive side. Thou shalt be faithful to your husband, your spouse. So, just as God is faithful to his bride, he said in Zechariah 8:8, I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. So that makes me think about our wedding vows. When we made vows before the Lord, we promised to be faithful. Most of us did. That was part of the vow. To love and to cherish from this day forward, forsaking all others and cleaving only unto you. So we're talking about cleaving in many ways, different types of cleaving. And there are good marriages in the Bible, aren't there? We have examples in Scripture of people who loved each other, cleaved to one another, were faithful to one another. And the Bible speaks about marriage. You know, for example, Hebrews 13:4 said marriage should be honored by all, marriage bed kept pure. Just reading that verse to a gal who's struggling with sex and problems with that, just the marriage bed should be kept pure. How freeing is that? That God is there looking and saying, yeah, this is good, this is pure. Proverbs 5:18-19, very descriptive about being exhilarated by love. This is not a boring relationship. This is not, oh, is it tonight? Okay. You know, this is exhilaration, captivation, enraptured, it talks about. Ravished, even in King James, my goodness. So, talking about marriage, just beautiful, created by God. It's something to give thanks for. I mean, there is a section in 1 Timothy that says, you know, you should not forbid others to marry. This is good. This is a great thing. God created it. So it was made to be good. He said this was very good, did he not? When the husband and wife came together? Very good. So it's consecrated and it's blessed. So as we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. If we just think about the sexual relationship as being a gift of God and it's from God, and we can include God and grace in it, that's going to help you right there, just getting started. And I'm not thinking that all of you are here because, wow, I need help in this area. Don't think that, because it could be someone you're thinking, you have a friend, somebody you need to talk to about it, okay? So I'm not thinking that. So best thing about marriage, though, is how the picture is in the New Testament of Christ and the church, is it not? You ever thought about that, like the mystic sweet communion we have with God? And it's the consummation of our life with Christ is going to be at the wedding supper of the Lamb. Again, I mean, what a picture that God has taken something which has been debased and he's made it very holy and pure. So we have the whole book of Song of Solomon written, and I want to say to you a little bit about it using some materials that I read by Linda Dillo and Lorraine Pintus. I've written a couple books, which I've included in references at the end. It says that as we look at the Song of Solomon, we have to realize that it's a book of poetry. So it's got plenty of weirdness in there, like towers, her neck is like a tower, and her hair is like sheep and goats and everything, all this. So it's poetry, but it's a clear picture of marriage and love. If we look carefully through it, we see that all the senses are involved in Song of Solomon. She's talking about smelling wonderfully and touching and hearing and tasting, seeing. Okay, that can even give you some ideas, right? It's like all inclusive experience. And it reminds us in Song of Solomon to guard our marriage. Protect your marriage from ungodly ideas and wrong thinking. That's referenced in Song of Solomon 2:15. Protect your marriage from the little foxes, is how they put it. And you see selfishness in that passage. And I want to talk about that later. And you see the way they use their words to encourage and enjoy one another. Something else to give you an idea. When we do pre-marriage counseling, we say, you know, take this on your honeymoon. Go through it while you're on your honeymoon. It's not forbidden reading. And they're so creative, what they're doing and where they're doing it. And there's some warnings in there. Do not arouse awaken love until it so desires. And this is where I will address the singles. And saying that even though this is pervasive in our culture, totally saturated movies, media, songs, it's something to protect, okay, and keep for your spouse. It's part of self-control for a single person. That means that we don't get involved physically with our boyfriend or even somebody we're engaged with. We don't practice foreplay before it's right time, okay? And I could tell you tragic stories. And I could even tell you stories where girls said, no, we never had sex, but it was very nearly. Okay, and then they're coming into the counseling office filled with regret and shame. So we're not going to do that. We also realize that God blesses a single person, which I do want to tell you that. It's in 1 Corinthians 7 says a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world and how she can please her husband. And I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. And Jim and I go to Mexico and Rosarito. We go speak at a church down there, and I met a woman there, and she said, I'm really glad I'm single. I have more time for devotion to the Lord. I'm here at the church all the time, and I'm meeting with people, and I'm serving. Like, well, praise God. What a great attitude. Be single and glad about it. That's a blessing. Yes, yes. So, we want to seek to be like Jesus. He was single after all, right? And we want to, so when the time comes, we want to purpose only to marry a believer. And I have talked to some single women who just get out to where it's like, I'm getting to be 30-something, and whoever comes along, I'm ready. But, I tell my friends, I said, let's be choosy still. No matter what our age, don't just settle to be married. It's not about the white dress, okay? It's about serving God wherever you are. And the single woman has to guard her heart from all those images, just like a married woman. So I encourage you to do that and find your contentment in the Lord. That's where you'll find satisfaction. Because if all the married women spoke up and said, you think marriage is going to give you contentment and satisfaction per se? No, it's not in that. It's not the person. It's not even the relationship. It's not the being a couple that gives you fulfillment. It's serving God. Okay. So we made that really clear, I hope. But there's some really good benefits of being a married woman and having the sexual aspects of life. It's a way of loving one another. It's, really demonstrating love to one another in a beautiful, God-honoring way. He says that we should purify. It says in 1 Peter 1:22, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Dear friends, so since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then, as we are married women, we have a person to love. We've been pledged to. Next step is to be content with that. Let's be content with the one that's been given to us. And I haven't specifically looked at your notes, but you may have an error on this section. I have 1 Timothy 6:6. 1 Peter, it should be chapter 2:11. These are contentment verses about being content with what's been given to you. It's a way to remember Jesus Christ through sexual relationship, and a way to glorify God in your body. I mean, can you think of another way to glorify God in your body? Exactly like that. Really clear. Yeah, 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, I urge you, sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. So that's part of being contentment. Now, in marriage, benefit of this good sex that we can have in marriage is actually your husband will follow you anywhere. Good, happy sexual relationship, that's going to give you a really happy husband. If you just think of perfect ideal, okay? He's going to love you. He's going to serve. I'm so grateful. Honey, you're just such a blessing to me. And we want to do that. We want to build our house. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house. Have you ever thought of that as being a sexual? Could be applied in a sexual area? Oh, okay. I have power to build my house. The foolish one tears it down with her own hands. She tells her husband, not tonight. What's wrong with you? Anyway, when she does that, she's ripping the roof off of her house. She's like physically, think of it, physically tearing. Selfishness, judgmentalism, which we're going to get into. But on the positive side, we can build our house. We can get a husband who's content and satisfied. He's able to battle the world when he's got happy sex at home. Besides, he can get really relaxed, and he quits having this uptight tension from work, kids. Okay? We're talking about really being a blessing. So we can make sex a priority in our lives. Actually, do you think our husband's thinking about it all the time? Okay. So, let's make it a priority. We don't really do that enough. Now, I'm going to pass around a series of comic strips to illustrate my point, so I'm going to do the first one here. Just pass it around, you guys can read it while I'm talking. So, all day long, your husband's looking at billboards, and he's averting his eyes, and let's say women pass by him on the street, and he looks away and he's thinking, only my wife, the one who's been given to me, she's the one for me. That is what his eyes and his head, his mind's thinking about. So this is our way of helping him. We can be creative. Let's be creative. Okay, let's be creative. Do you like to eat the same thing for breakfast every day? Well, I know one girl, she eats oatmeal every day, every single day, her whole life. But it gets boring, so we're going to be creative. Okay, we can do that. Everybody likes variety. And we can take the initiative. That might even be kind of wild for some of us. But let's do it. And I met with a woman on Thursday. Okay, you hear all my people. You hear about my people. But I met with her on Thursday, and she's just like, oh, my husband, he's awful. You know, he's traveling all the time. He doesn't appreciate me, blah, blah, blah. And we haven't had sex in about 3 months. Really? I'm saying, do you realize what you're doing? You're taking that relationship, which is like glue, glues you together, and no wonder you're like fighting all the time. Of course, he's got built-up tension and anger and whatever else, because he's getting turned down all the time. And she's not using the glue that God's given her to fight some of the other issues that are going on in her life. So now husband and wife fighting like that, and then kids, oh, it's sad, but it happens. And I should say that good, really good sex is not just for young people. Okay? It's not just for beautiful people either. Good thing, yeah. And it actually gets better. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you tell a girl who's about ready to get married, you say, honey, you don't know. You're just starting, it's going to get better. Encourage them. And I want to read you a story about this couple. It came out of Valentine's Day. It says, both use wheelchairs to get around the house. Both are severely limited in their range of motion. But it's obvious those limitations have not dampened their feelings. Through it all, Paul and Betty have remained madly in love, says their caretaker. She kisses him almost every day, and she makes the effort to stand up and give him a kiss. Shannon said, I mean, I love coming here because they're just so happy, and you know, it kind of makes me forget about my problems. What a sweet story. Yeah, they have a good relationship. We want to be that. So, we've got to go quickly to the rest of the good side to think that we need an attitude adjustment, some of us. Okay? We need to be thinking about this more often, how to be a blessing. Let's be understanding. Let's be unselfish. A man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's job is never done, right? You think that when you get in bed at night, okay, one more thing. No. But have you ever thought that your husband is also working, even when he gets home? And he's working on the weekends, he gets out there with that lawnmower, and then he pays the bills, and then he maybe climbs on the roof and hammers away and does something for your house. Okay, that man is also working. Let's not think that we're the slaves here and he just gets to sit around and enjoy himself. No, we're thinking, I appreciate this man. I'm so glad that he's worked so hard for a family. This is a way of showing appreciation, unselfishness. And I won't... One thing we're really going to have to emphasize is that this is a way of showing grace. And I hate it when women come in and they understand the gospel, blah, 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 they know the gospel, but when they look at their husbands, out comes judgment. He does not do this, he doesn't do that, he's lousy at this other thing, and he never does. All this judgment comes down with no grace. And you think, well, if I had him in here, I bet he could tell me a few things. But we tend to be so judgmental, and in this way, this is our way of kind of putting him under our thumb. Okay? That's the worst situation. That's the lady who's she takes her window frame and she just rips it out of her house. I'm tearing down my house when I do that. So, your husband's not a home improvement project. He's not the one you have to keep changing and make sure you train him to do this and that and the other thing. Because, frankly, that doesn't make life beautiful. And it doesn't make him love you more. Because the idea is, what I read, that if we try to make our husband a home improvement project, then we're being like his mom. And who wants to have sex with your mom? Okay? Right? If you've been after him all day, do this, and you're not really that way, and you shouldn't be doing that, then it's like you're taking out the partnership, and you're taking control of that. And it can happen the same thing when he tries to have sex with you, and it's like, oh, you're not doing it right. Well, you know, don't you know I don't like that? And then, well, how critical? That's just not grace. That's not grace at all. I want to see more grace happening, more appreciation for one another and love for one another. So, we can start by confessing our faults. We don't act as a judge. It's not our job to change him. And we don't want to make him beg. You remember Gone with the Wind and how Scarlett closed her door to him all that time? And then finally he just like broke the door down and he was in a drunken rage. And the next morning, do you remember she wakes up? She's like, oh, she's all happy. But he's gone. He had enough of that. Enough of that, you closing the door to me. I'm going to be gone. That's a non-biblical way of reacting, I know. But do you think how that would happen to a husband who's really trying and turned down all the time, regularly? I could tell you horror stories. It's awful. So we don't want to make him beg. That's just a put down. It's not showing mercy and grace. Sometimes just giving, being serving is the way to go. We don't want to tease. Like the mom, the lady goes, okay, honey, well, tonight when you get home, you're going to really get a good time. And then by the time he is home, he's been ready. He's glad. He wants to be with her. And she goes, not tonight. It's such a hard day. I'm going to read you Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Okay? So we can be that. We can be that encouragement, that get up and go for him that he needs. And you can, let's take a hint. You know, it's happened. It's happened in your home, right? So, okay. And he's hinting in his own way. And you're like, I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. What are you talking about? Let's take a hint. Okay, he's trying. It's better than, okay, you want to have a roll in the hay? No, I'd rather have the hinting anyway. So you got to follow that. So let's work on building our relationships with our husbands. And I could bring in a string of women who would say, I don't want to have sex with him because we have no relationship. But does that mean he has to go to the quilt show with you before you have sex? No, that might mean you go to the basketball game with him. Okay, how about turning that the other way around? I'm going to build a relationship with my husband. That doesn't mean sit in front of the TV together. It means doing something together, enjoying something together. Me, I'm not athletic. I hate that. I don't want to sweat. But then Jim says, he's into running. He's been into running for a while. Oh, honey, let's get up and run. Let's put on our ugliest clothes and let's get out there with a bunch of other sweaty people. And you come back all grubby and dirty. Like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? I want to show you some new trails. And you think I'm going to do that? I am. It's not my favorite thing, but he loves that. I want to go. I want to be with him. I want that relationship. I mean, why do we use judgmental, he's got to do my thing be nice to me. He's got to do the dishes. Where we're not willing to do stuff with him. Okay? Let's show grace. So, we're going to be thankful for what he's doing at home. We're going to keep sex in mind. Esther, after all, didn't she go through 12 months of beauty treatments before she went to the king? And the rest of us, you know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to throw on something that's so comfortable. That's it. She made herself ready that long. And we do have powders and we have bubble bath and we have stuff we don't use probably, but we can use it. We can shave our legs, even if we're not wearing slacks. If we are wearing slacks. Okay, we can make plans. I mean, what's Victoria's secret? Her secret is what she's got on underneath, right? So we can do that. And get away. So, it's good to keep a sense of humor, too. Enjoy. And when things don't go right, and things get goofed up, just laugh. I mean, this is not rocket science. We're all learning. But I mainly want you to remember that we're going to show grace, that if he doesn't get you what you want on your birthday, and he doesn't take you to that nice place for anniversary, you're still going to show grace. Okay, we're not living in judgment anymore. Okay, believers are not in judgment. And I don't know why it happens at home, but it does. So let's not do it. We're going to be a channel of blessing. And we also need to accept grace from the Lord. I mean, I do talk to women, too, who are so guilt-ridden with their past and mistakes and the way their minds go that they can't enjoy sex. But again, this is where grace comes in, knowing God has died for our sins. Jesus died. Took our sins upon himself, so we don't need to carry guilt and take that sin right back on ourselves. We're not being punished. We've confessed. Guilt is not sexy. Okay. And we need to accept grace also from our husbands when he says, "Oh, I love the way you look, honey." And how many times do we go, "Did you see this temple here? No, I love the way you smile. Well, my hair, I mean, I just can't get it to work today." And he's trying to give us compliments, and we're going right back. We're judging ourselves even. We're not even accepting grace, unmerited favor, unmerited love from another. That's not grace. I have a friend, she won't even look at the fitness magazines. She's like, "Okay, I'm not going to compare myself to that girl, because I know I'm not like that, so..." I mean, we don't want to take off our clothes if we just hate our bodies, is what I'm saying. So let's just get our minds back onto what God made and say, this is good. God has given us good thing here. And you know, Satan would love to come in and twist and destroy this part of our life. Tim Challey says, Satan's plan is to have as much sex outside of marriage and as little within marriage as possible. What do you think about that? And I've been counseling women who have not had sex for years. Like, one was 8 years. We're just living like brother and sister. Another one, they're in separate rooms 13 years. Just brother and sister, fake. Fake marriage is really what it is. And that's sad, because that's not God's way. Carolyn Mahaney says, indifference and neglect are slowly eating away at affections, and often the couple is completely unaware. Dennis Rainey in Lonely Husbands, Lonely Wives says, every day each partner in the marriage makes choices that result in oneness or in isolation. Make the right choices and you will know love and warmth, acceptance, and the freedom of true intimacy and genuine oneness as man and wife. Make the wrong choices and you will know the quiet desperation of living together but never really touching one another deeply. It's sad. It's the couple who gets in bed and I'm not going to even touch my big toe that direction because you'll get the wrong idea. Okay? I mean, you're tearing down your house when you do that. God has not made that, our marriages like that. So, women can do harm to their husbands, actually, by being super, super selfish. That's what it is, okay? That's the sin of selfishness. And when we reject sex continually, I'm not saying never, ever, but like one time after another, after another, after another, we're actually rejecting the husband that we have been given in God's way for us. 2 Timothy 3, 2 through 5 describes people being without love, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it can be understandable that a mom who's got little kids ends up super fatigued at night. And usually this is the first thing to go. Sex. Well, I'm just too tired. Okay, have you ever heard of mercy sex? Like, okay, honey, I don't feel like it, but I want to serve you. Okay, that's good. It doesn't have to be wildly passionate constantly, okay? It can be a service. It can be a mercy to your husband. So to fight selfishness, I've given you a series of selfish, graceless attitudes with verses to fight with. And for that one, you would say Philippians 2:3. We love that verse. We love it. We apply it in so many parts of life. Now, how about this way? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. And my friend, who was crying about her relationship with her husband, I said, you know what? Your husband, he's in sales. You know what kind of women he's seeing when he goes out there? They're all dressed nicely. They're all professionals. And he comes home and he sees this crying wife and dissatisfied and turning him down constantly. So, you know, you're really tearing down your house. You don't want that to happen. So some people will say, okay, this is my duty. I've been told to do this. So they'll say, how many times a week is really normal? You heard the one where the question was asked of the couple and the man says, oh, we have sex 3 days a week, hardly ever. And she goes, 3 days a week, all the time. Okay? This is the wife who's like, oh, really? It's that time again? So this, I want you to know that this is not fulfilling to a man to have this wife like, okay, just get it over with. That is not fulfilling to a man. I've heard a man say, I feel like I'm just raping my wife. She's not into it. She's just lying there. And that just makes me feel horrible. I feel less than a man. So I want to commend to you a really good blog article that I didn't get copies for all of you, but I'll give you the blog site. And it's talking about things from that point of view where we don't even really think about what we're doing to our husbands. So you look at www.challies.com. It's Tim Challies and Aileen Challies. Challies. This couple has written a blog article called False Messages, A Guide for the Godly Bride. And I'm using their ideas to emphasize the beautiful things that happen and to show you some of the ways that a man feels when it's not beautiful, especially this aspect right here. And, I mean, a wife could say, you know, I have spent so much time making this dinner for you. I started it at 8 this morning, and then I made the jello salad at 2 because you know it has to be done early. And then I made this, and I made this, and it's, I laid out this big spread for you. But I'm so tired right now. So what would you think he'd rather have? You know, that fast food, let's get an energetic wife at the end of the day. Okay? Okay? Think about how he's thinking. That's showing grace. And it's not being selfish. I want to give something he would like. Maybe we feel fulfilled when we've done the gourmet meal, but we're going to serve our husbands as well. Okay? So we've got women who use sex as manipulation. Say, you've been good, so you get some tonight. But you've not been good, there's no way tonight. You didn't do the kiss when you left this morning. You didn't call me at lunch. And then when you got home, all you did was just go turn on the TV. And I asked you to bathe the kids, and you didn't do it. So, no more, not for you. That's manipulation. Okay, that's controlling him in a place that he is so vulnerable. Because what man likes to beg? Especially if you got a man, he would not want to beg, and he does not want to be treated that way. It's not showing God's grace. Because after all, could he have the same list for you? Well, I went out to work, I fought traffic, and I had to put on this tie. You know how much a tie chokes you when you're trying to? I had to wear this all day, and I went and worked, and I hate my job anyway. And then my boss yelled at me, and then I got home, and look at how you're acting. You're just criticizing me the whole time. Okay. We're tearing down our house. So, we're going to think biblically. We're going to think about Titus 2, that grace of God brings salvation, has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Praise God. We're not stuck in that housewife with the ugly house coat mode. We're not stuck there. We've been created for godliness. Do you remember Jim speaking this morning about penance, making, in the forgiveness aspect? Well, penance, purgatory, that's what we can do to our husbands. And maybe we don't even realize it. But let's check ourselves, let's hear ourselves talking. Are we talking that way? Are we just showing grace, unmerited favor? Because that's what we've been given. He loves us with our bulges, so we can love him with his failures. Okay, so we have a poor body image, perhaps. I hate my body. I don't want to wear those little things because it shows everything. Okay, you know what to do? You know the best way to lose 10 pounds? You turn off the light. It works. Oh, then, flattering light. You can do that. That makes all the difference, especially if you have this image problem. I mean, the lady in Song of Solomon, she goes, oh, do not look at me, I'm so dark. Remember? And he's like, I don't care about that. So, we think biblically. And as I say in the book Intimate Issues, we're going to lay down the mirror of the world, which reflects unrealistic beauty standards, and pick up the mirror of God's Word, which offers the reflection of true beauty. Okay. So we're going to take care of the body we've been given. We are going to get out and jog now and then. Then we're going to work on thinking to focus on our good areas. Now, some people have a completely twisted view of sex. Remember I told you last time we met here was that I was counseling this girl as a prostitute. She'd been a prostitute. And she was coming in for counseling, and I'm going, she's really dressed like a streetwalker. Well, actually, that was her thing. She wanted people to notice her. She wanted guys to pay attention to her body. And that's probably why she went back into it, because she didn't ever see the biblical point of view. But we have to be careful, too, how we reflect an image to our brothers in Christ. And, the standards of modesty. We each have things where, I really don't feel comfortable in that. Or, hey, I got a guy really complimented me on my shirt. Well, I'd rather just see my husband complimenting me. I'm not going to wear that anymore. I did that once. Pastor said, oh, this is former church. Hey, I really like what you're wearing. That shirt, that dress stayed in the closet. Never wore it again. Okay, so we've got pornography as a problem. And when I'm talking about pornography here, I'm talking about with women. I know, shocking. Shocking. But what trilogy is on the bestseller list? Yeah, 50 Shades of Grey, which I've not read it, but I understand it's like mild form of pornography, okay? So I even was in Doha, Qatar, last January. They've translated that into Arabic. It's in the books, on the bookshelf. Can you believe? They've got plastic wrap around it, so you can't open it, but anyway, it's there. So we've got women who are reading books to get in the mood. Okay? I even heard one husband say, you know, you ought to really get your wife to read that stuff, because when you get home, she's going to be hot to trot. But that's using pornography, okay? Do you think that couple's married still? Nope, they're divorced. So, but we have to guard ourselves against women's magazines. Really? Women's magazines, pretty graphic sometimes. Tantalizing literature. TV, just even TV, okay? We're going to take steps to fight that. In the book, Women Counseling Women, Elise Fitzpatrick has written a chapter on women and pornography. Recommend that if you're counseling somebody or dealing with somebody who's kind of struggling with that, with the what to do. And I could talk to you about it privately, too. I've got that. Fantasies, another way to twist sex. And how many times have we heard, oh, I love that actor. Oh, I love everything he's in. You know, I really like the way he looks. Okay, not godly. If you think about it, really, how God, what does God think about that? Okay, so we've got to fight this, girls. And you can do it by 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. Oh, if I were saying this out loud, would God be glad about that? No? Okay. Then we move into more serious things like casual sex. Some people can get drawn into that. I read a book about women's health issues, and in it was a sexual masturbation. Okay, so this is what you do. I'm going, my goodness, just out of the blue, they're telling me this is what you do? But it's a problem, it's an issue. And it's a secret issue, but it may be out there more than you realize. So these are ways, you know, you hear about men, but women too, of taking the beautiful glue that's been made for one another and just making it, I don't need him. I'm going to keep away from him. This is, that part's ugly, so I'm just, okay. Biblical thinking would be, we're created for our husbands. And we're supposed to flee the evil desires of youth, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now, women can think of sex as an idol. I've touched on this already. But if we think, no, it's not my thing, you know, maybe him. But no, if we think, we can do it by making judgmental statements. He's not performing, so I'm not going to give him anything. Because, you know, he doesn't know how to treat me. And he's not saying nice things to me. And he's so clumsy. Okay, things like that are judgmental. And besides, how is our godly Christian husband supposed to know stuff? Unless you tell him you don't like this, or that you do prefer that. Okay? He doesn't know. You need to speak to him. But that's called performance-based love. So we need to communicate. And Linda Dillo says, a man who is put down, then he turns his wife over to her, then he resents her. So our biblical thinking is, just keep away from criticism. And you remember in Song of Solomon, the girl goes, he comes knocking at the door and she goes, oh, I've taken off my robe, must I put it on again? And I washed my feet, must I sew them again? Like, I don't want to get out of bed. No, no, no. Okay, that's not convenient for her. That's performance based. And have you ever heard that word that they use in the South, quitcher? I feel like saying, oh, quitcher whining. You realize this man is working hard for you. He's serving you. He's giving himself. I mean, even for him to suggest, let's have sex tonight, it's like putting himself on the line because maybe he'll get turned down. That's, on his point of view, that's, he's putting himself out there. And let's quit your whining. Quit your performance-based love. So, women can say, you know, I'm so glad I'm not like that. I mean, he's such an animal. He's always after me. I'm so much better than him. I'm spiritual. Okay, woman who says that has totally forgotten the whole first part of what I was saying. This is made by God. It's pure. It's holy. It's not animal versus spiritual. Okay? That's the world. The world says, okay, mating. Mating is what happens at clubs. You know, hooking up goes on in bars. Just like animal stuff. But let's take it and purify what God has made and say, this is good. This is good. Okay, we're not better than husbands just because they have desires like that. And it is prideful to say, you know, if I don't have my weight down or my breasts the way I want them, then I just don't feel good about myself. That's a type of pride too. Okay. So, what God values is unfading beauty, which is of great worth in God's sight, we're told in 1 Peter 3. Okay? Charm is deceitful and beauty the same. And those girls in the clubs, if you talk to them, they're not really that happy with their lifestyle. Okay. So, a few minutes for some questions. Well, my husband, I mean, you're talking all this time about your husband who has this animal instinct and drive and everything, but my husband, he's too tired at night. He's not interested. And it's surprising, even young guys. Surprising you hear this. Could be that he's got physical things need to be checked out by a doctor. But it could be this is an indication of something going wrong in your relationship. To where, you know, you look at sex and lack of it and say, well, there's something wrong. But as Wayne Mack says, that's not the problem. It's just like the light on the dashboard. Whereas it's not the light that's got an issue. It's indicating something's wrong in the rest of it. And what could be happening, and you can't, don't be afraid to say this, it could be that the wife is being the mom or the controller. Okay? You're not performing, you're not doing, you are nothing. And, you know, why don't you get a better job? Why do we have to live here? I hate this house. Why don't you take more control of these kids? So a man like that, it's like you're emasculating him. Okay? So, could be that man has been put down too much. Linda Dello says, acting like a mother, spiritual advisor, and dietitian doesn't build romance. Okay, and actually can cause rebellion, tension, or complacency. Okay, could be he's pleasuring himself somewhere else. Could be he's got guilt. Something that needs to be confessed, something you need to build together. It's the time to go in for marriage counseling. Okay? You don't want to be like the lady who's 13 years, just separate lives. Sad. I mean, she's sad. Both the two women I talked to, just they don't like it. It's a horrible way to live. It's a shared problem. But on the other hand, well, I could care less. I've got the kids. I've got my meetings at night and my club, you know, I'm in the garden club and everything else. I don't need that. Well, maybe you've got some physical problems that need to be checked. Maybe a good night's sleep would solve your problems. Frankly, when we've had babies nursing, it's like, what is this for? Feeding. Okay, but remember, your husband didn't go through that whole process, so to him, he doesn't think the same way you do. Okay, do I have to say any more? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so remember that your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your husband, so you help, ask God to help change your attitude if you have this lack of interest. Could be maybe you've got some guilt. Something's hanging in from your past. It needs to be confessed. Could have been your relationship started wrongly. Had other problems. Consider you've got selfishness too. And how many times, an experienced wife will tell you, how many times do you go ahead and agree? Mind agrees, the body will follow. Okay? Just let yourself be assertive. Okay, well, some of us are going through menopause. I mean, like, really, this is now way different situation than I ever thought. And my friend who told me that, it's time to go to the gynecologist, because your gynecologist is your best friend. You can tell him or her, I'm having some issues here. Going through menopause, things are right, so they can help. And my friend said, yes, everything's better now. So, I mean, if you stopped losing your desire to eat, you would be rushing over to the doctor, wouldn't you? But losing your desire for sex, that's a serious thing. It's going to make your marriage suffer. Well, now there are women who've got husbands who are into porn. Some lady I heard about on Thursday, her husband wanted to engage in weird sex. And her answer was, because she'd read a book, it was, I'm going to let my body be a living sacrifice. That was a verse. On the other hand, my verse for her is Romans 14:23b. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Husbands, dwell with your wives in an understanding way. Also, Ephesians 5. And if he's asking for something which is demeaning or painful or something you're not comfortable with, you need to tell him. And if he's not listening, get help. There was a couple who came to Jim and said, the wife said, this is going on and I don't like it. And he says, okay, well, you tell him. And we were talking. And if he wants you to do it, you need to tell him that you're not comfortable. Well, we get a call at midnight. My husband wants to do this thing, and I don't want to. Would you talk to him? That was the only time they called. They only called that one time. But yeah, I mean, she took resources she had available. Her husband wasn't listening to her privately, and she called in the big guns. Now let's hope they don't have that issue anymore. Okay. After all, Ananias and Sapphira were both guilty. I don't know who cooked up their whole plot, but God punished both of them. So let's not participate in watching, doing weird stuff, okay? But any of you listened to Dr. Laura Schlesinger on the radio when she used to have her show? When a woman would call in about a pornography problem with her husband, the first thing she'd say is, so are you helping him? Or are you turning him down? Okay, so that's the first question to ask. But I appeal to you to get help. And also, you want to find out, what is this? If he's doing pornography, what is he doing? I mean, you got a range like this wide. And we could be way over extreme, or it could be, oh yeah, well, something popped up and I glanced, but I shut it down. That's not doing pornography, okay? It can be very alarming. Oh, I can't believe my Christian husband, But if he shut it down as quickly as it comes up, then that's different. So we're talking range here. On the other, my husband's so self-centered about sex. All he wants, he's not listening to me. Okay, so we can go back and use, I've got some verses here. We pray, we confront our brother. We ask for help. You come and talk to that mentor woman that you hopefully have already. But if you don't, go find one, because you need help. God will help you through this. And some, I'm sorry, I wish I could tell you the percentage, but it's a huge percentage of women who've had bad sexual approaches in the past, of all kinds. And I'll encourage you that God can help you with this, even when you were a child or a young adult. And I had a girl who, her father, for 7 years, her father was being inappropriate. And she came in, she was engaged to be married, so I said, okay. And I talked to her for several weeks, and I said, I want to see you after you get married. Because she was really doing well. She had a handle on what had happened, and, you know, her own innocence, and her father's guilt, and how God felt about sex in general. And she came back after she got married, and she says, all smiles. Oh, everything's so great. She had no lingering, that I know of, no lingering issues because of what had happened to her for 7 years. God had completely healed her. Praise God. She got help, and I want to tell you, it can happen. Lord is good. God is good. And it involves a whole bunch of work. You know, I put a few verses, putting off, putting on. Okay, then we have the lady who says, well, I don't know what everybody's talking about, orgasm. What is that? Yeah, I don't even know what they're talking about. But I'll just tell you that when Linda Dillo, I'll quote her, a woman's response in the sexual relationship can be blocked by lack of submission. She has trouble yielding. So ask yourself, are you mothering your husband? Okay. Then you've got communication that needs to take place, and then just plain relax. Focus on serving others. Definitely, there are books, there are people who can help you. It takes work. Okay, everything's not automatic anyway. It takes work and time. Well, to be honest, I let myself go. You know, I've gained about 40 pounds because I don't want him to come after me anymore. And that happens too. So it's warning, warning, your red light is blaring, you've got major problems, a sinful view of marriage, you're tempting your husband, hurting your own health, and would you want anybody you cared about to do that? No. And then my husband, he's just such a slob, he doesn't even take a shower beforehand, and he works in the construction, he comes in, he thinks it's okay. Well, are you talking about it? Or are you complaining, judging? Okay? Do that. Okay, so we want to take this part of life. We want to love God more through it. We want to give ourselves to the Lord and give our husbands to the Lord. Linda Dillo again. I told God about his bad points, and I told him about his good points. How's that? That's building your house. And she also says it's a wife's job to make her husband whole. It is God's responsibility to make him holy. So I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us, redeem this part of our life, and to help us show grace to our spouses. So let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful that even though things can get so messed up and ugly, that you can redeem it. And that you are so good to take something broken and make it for your glory. So I pray that you take each marriage represented here, make it more beautiful, God-honoring, and pure, and help these women as they talk to other women, because I know there's major problems out there, but help them as they talk to others to use some of the scriptures and use the Holy Spirit to help those who are hurting. In Christ's name. Amen.